Hello, this is Irene Bullard. I'll be reading the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Tuesday, February 21st. Let's begin on the front page. Students find mystery that's out of this world. At Challenger Center, kids use teamwork to solve crime simulation. Usually the students who participate in missions at the Challenger Learning Center at Heartland Community College are plotting a course to reach Mars or looking for ways to study a comet. On Monday, the plotting involved a possible murder aboard a space station, and the students search for clues leading to the killer. And because it was President's Day, the victim was the president of NASA, which in this futuristic time is no longer a government agency. "It's fun for us to mix it up," Flight Director Libby Torbeck said of the change of pace. Flight Director Susan Evans said she had done a crime scene investigation camp 2 years ago, where students learned about forensic science and how to collect evidence. "They really love the speculation," she said. So Evans decided to expand the course into a crime scene drama, where students not only learned science, but also learned about interviewing witnesses, evaluating data, and reaching conclusions as a team. The 20 students from 2nd to 6th grade bubbled with excitement throughout the day as part of the International Planetary Crime Scene Investigations team. When they arrived at the space station where President Melvin had died, their first task was to decide whether a crime was committed, or he just died from natural causes or an accident. Of course, it would not have been much of a crime scene camp if there was no crime. Upon entering the station simulator, they found an outline on the floor of where the president's body was found. There was an overturned stool, blood stains, fake, strands of hair, and everything from bungee cords and a discarded soft drink can to crumpled up papers and a Rice Krispies treat that turned out to contain poison. "I found the most important evidence," 11-year-old Kyra West proclaimed, after finding a wadded-up piece of paper warning, "I'll give you one last chance, and don't tell anyone." Kyra said, "I was about to collect the can with the caution tape, and I saw a note, and I saw Mr. President on it, and I thought it would be important to the crime." The students collected evidence in plastic bags, taking care not to touch anything with their bare hands. They labeled the bags with where they were found. After lunch, they got forensic testing results on the evidence they collected, indicating whose DNA matched the blood or hair or what foreign substances were in containers they found. They also received information on each person on the space station, when the murder occurred, as well as their witness statements. Working in teams, they reviewed the findings and discussed which evidence tied which person to the crime. "We threw so much evidence at them, so they could take it wherever they want to," said Torbeck. In fact, Evans said, the staff organizing the class did not have a specific person in mind as the culprit. Even when the students asked, the staff didn't tell. "Telling them who did it takes away from their enjoying and their thinking about it," Evans said. "They should reach their own conclusions." Jill Sompong, 9, of Bloomington, participated in the first crime scene drama mission last year and had fun, so she did it again. "I like mystery things," Jill said. So did Elijah Raridan, 11, of Normal. "I really like the part where you get to guess who did it," he said. Instead of just telling their conclusions, each team acted out how they thought the murder was carried out, some more dramatically than others, and then they each took a bow. Tuition fee hike on agenda at Heartland. Board will consider 2.8% increase. The Heartland Community College Board of Trustees will consider today a recommendation for increasing tuition and fees about 2.8% starting with the summer term. The meeting will begin at 6 p.m. in room 2012 of the Community Commons Building on Robb Road. The total per credit hour cost for tuition and fees would rise from $144 to $148 if the recommendation is accepted, and that includes a $2 per credit hour increase in tuition and a new $2 learning management system fee. The new fee will replace a $30 per course fee that had been charged only for online and hybrid courses. The new universal fee recognizes that the college's learning management system is used by traditional classes too. Factors that went into the recommended increase included the ongoing uncertainty of the state funding situation, not knowing what, if anything, we will receive, Doug Minter, Vice President of Business Services, said Monday. Other factors included the college's strategic multi-year budget plan approved last year, which forecast the need for a $2 per credit hour increase in tuition for fiscal year 2018 and a collective bargaining agreement with full-time faculty that calls for a 2.5% salary increase in fiscal year 2018. The increase would mean a student taking 12 credit hours per semester in fall and spring would pay an additional $96 a year. Minter said the college's tuition and fee total has ranked about 10th among public community colleges in the state, and this increase would move it up to about 7th. However, we will continue to look at the overall cost of education as all factors, not just tuition and fees, Minter said, referring to ongoing efforts by the college to keep down the cost of textbooks. Also on the meeting agenda are a report on credit enrollment for spring 2017 and an update on strategic planning. Alderman Cool to new truck route policy. Bloomington Council not in favor of plan to designate city streets. The city will not develop a comprehensive system of commercial truck routes in Bloomington, instead relying on the current policy of restricting such vehicles from local streets on a case-by-case basis. City Council members indicated unanimously at Monday's non-voting work session that they want to maintain that approach and that any proposed changes would require public meetings for feedback. The city staff had recommended against the comprehensive approach as being expensive and too hard to enforce. The city hired Troy-based consultant Lockmuller Group last year to do a comprehensive study and come up with a citywide truck route policy after the residents complained about commercial trucks on Clinton Boulevard, a historic stretch of Clinton Street between Empire and Emerson Streets. Speaking during the meeting's public comment session, Patricia Carlson and Daniel Holland, who live in the neighborhood, spoke of what they say is the harm that the trucks have caused on the brick-paved boulevard. "I think we have to be careful that we don't shift one street's problem to another," said Ward 9 Alderman Jim Fruin. "I understand it's a neighborhood boulevard, but Clinton Boulevard is really a main road between Bloomington and Normal. I suspect all those people who are using Clinton Street beyond Clinton Boulevard are going to weigh in on this. But not having a set policy for establishing truck routes in the city is troubling," said Ward 4 Alderman Amelia Baragas. "It's difficult for us on council or people on staff to explain to people in the absence of a clear, consistent, easy-to-understand and enforce policy why some streets are a truck route, some have truck bans, and some do not," said Baragas. "Not all streets are the same, so a street that is purely residential, we have a vested interest in quality of life and property values, and heavy truck traffic can have a negative impact on both of those," Baragas noted. "If we can find a way to encourage trucks to travel on more commercial, heavier used streets, that's a win for everyone, as long as we don't unduly impact their ability to move through the community. That's where the challenge is." Lockmuller noted its proposed policy would be a comprehensive solution to minimize truck traffic on roads that are not meant for trucks. Lockmuller's recommendation, similar to a policy used by Springfield, involved requiring commercial trucks from 8,000 pounds to 80,000 pounds to use designated routes, which typically would be major and minor arterial streets when possible. major collectors would be included for truck use based on their local conditions. Such trucks could go off designated routes only if their destination required them to. Public Works Director Jim Karch said it would be difficult to enforce such a policy because police would have to determine the origin and the destination of a truck, and the Bloomington Police Department does not have the staff to enforce the proposed change, Karch noted. Other disadvantages include an initial $40,000 cost to add signs on streets designated for truck travel and additional costs for staff time to install the signs and educate the roadway users, said Karch. When Mayor Terry Renner asked if there was any support for going forward with the idea, no alderman replied affirmatively. In February 2016, the city backed away from a proposed ban of large commercial trucks on Clinton Boulevard. Instead, the city staff began asking local companies to reroute their trucks away from Clinton to larger arterial streets. Daily Digest. Fundraiser set to aid families. Center for Youth and Family Solutions will have its annual fundraiser at 7 p.m. Friday at the Castle Theater, 209 East Washington Street. The proceeds from the event will support children and families in crisis in McLean County. The 1980s themed event will include appetizers, silent auction bidding, door prizes, and music by Retrofit. People may bring their favorite bottle of wine or six-pack of craft beer. One name will be drawn each for the wine and the beer. Tickets are $20 and can be purchased at www.stockthecellar2015.eventbrite.com, and that's spelled B-R-I-T-E, or by calling 309-829-6307. Ticket price increases to $25 at the door. Road closure. Locust Street between Morris and Western Avenues is closed to all traffic. While crews make sewer repairs in the area, it will reopen when the work is completed. The Bloomington Public Works Department is asking the motorists to use the following detours. Westbound Locust, use Lee to Market Street. Eastbound Locust, use Market to Lee Streets. For more information, you can contact the department at 309-434-2225. Today is Tuesday, February 21st, the 52nd day of 2017. There are 313 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On February 21st, 1947, inventor Edwin H. Land publicly demonstrated his Polaroid Land camera, which used self-developing film to produce a black-and-white photograph in 60 seconds. On this date in 1513, Pope Julius II, who commissioned Michelangelo to paint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, died nearly 4 months after the project was completed. In 1613, Mikhail Romanov, age 16, was unanimously chosen by Russia's National Assembly to be Tsar, beginning a dynasty that would last 3 centuries. In 1885, the Washington Monument was dedicated. In 1916, the World War I Battle of Verdun began in France as German forces attacked. The French were able to prevail after 10 months of fighting. In 1945, during the World War II Battle of Iwo Jima, the escort carrier USS Bismarck Sea was sunk by kamikazes with the loss of 318 men. In 1958, the USS Gudgeon, SS-567, became the first American submarine to complete a round-the-world cruise 8 months after departing from Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. In 1972, President Richard M. Nixon began his historic visit to China as he and his wife, Pat, arrived in Beijing. Thought for today. Tomorrow is often the busiest day of the week. Spanish proverb. And today's Flick Fact Question. With all the urban expansion of Bloomington Normal, there are more skunks in town, too. Do you know how far a skunk can accurately aim its foul-smelling spray? And the answer is 15 feet, say animal control folk. Students use postcards to thank donors. Thank a Giver Day at IWU aims to reach out to thousands. The green iced cookies offered at Illinois Wesleyan University on Monday each had a chunk of nearly one-third missing, but there was a good reason. The cookies represented the amount of each student's education covered by tuition, 70%. The other 30% is covered by donors, explained Sam Rosenberg, a senior from Peru majoring in psychology, who was staffing a Thank a Giver Day table at the dugout on the IWU campus. Monday was chosen for Tag Day because IWU is about 70% of the way through the school year, he said. It's a cool way to show this is the day your tuition stops, covering expenses, so let's thank them, the donors, for it, said senior Grace Hanselin, a psychology major from suburban Flossmoor. Other volunteers were at the Center for Natural Science and at State Farm Hall asking fellow students to write a short message on postcards to donors. Among those who did was freshman Vera Perez of Gurnee, who is majoring in chemistry. Donors help the students a lot, said Perez. The least I can do is write a little letter. Rosenberg said, our goal is for each donor who gave to the school to get a postcard. That would require about 2,500 postcards, he said. That's a tall order for a school with less than 2,000 students. But while most students only wrote one card, others wrote more. Spencer Beard, a freshman in political science from Appleton, Wisconsin, said that he took time to thank a giver because with the donors who donated for my scholarship, it makes it so much more affordable to go to school. Normal plans to improve Towanda near Ironwood. Council okays project to resurface road. A busy road in Normal will get an overdue overhaul this summer, nearly 30 years after Towanda Avenue from Interstate 55 to Ironwood Drive was built, with concrete expected to last only 25 years. A contractor will replace the top level of the surface with asphalt this spring and summer. Normal City Council approved the work as part of an $813,000 agreement with Rowe Construction of Bloomington. Rowe also will resurface Broadway Place and replace two golf cart culverts through Towanda at Ironwood Golf Course. I'm very happy we're coming up with an alternative that is not going to close the road for a long time, said Council Member Kevin McCarthy. Rather than removing and replacing the road, the crews will mill down the surface 2 inches and fill that portion of the road with asphalt, a mill and fill. That means the road will close up to 4 weeks for work on the golf cart culverts versus a larger scale closure over up to 14 weeks on a replacement road. We felt there was no way we could have that road disrupted for that period of time, said City Engineer Gene Brown. The choice also saved the town about $400,000, he added, though the mill and fill option comes with a shorter lifespan, only about 15 years. A lot of people prefer asphalt surfaces. Concrete streets are rough by nature. There are always joints, said City Manager Mark Peterson. When it's done, residents will be thrilled. It's a beautiful driving surface, very smooth. Council Member R.C. McBride, who lives near a road that went through a similar process, Blair Drive between College Avenue and Fort Jesse Road, agreed motorists will be pleased with the results. I walk it, and I know it's ready for some improvement, said Council Member Kathleen Lorenz, who lives near the section of Towanda to be improved. Peterson said after the meeting that he was disappointed only one contractor bid on the work, which came in $30,000 higher than expected, but that's not uncommon for asphalt projects. This is the best alternative at this time, Brown said. In other business, the council approved improvements to Towanda at Vernon Avenue. Bloomington, which shares the intersection with Normal, will pay about $450,000 of the $650,000 project, including all costs to install a right-turn lane on northbound Towanda. Work also will include new traffic lights at the intersection, new sidewalks that comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act, street resurfacing, and new pavement markings, said Brown. And the council signed off on a beer-only liquor license for DP Doe at 121 East Beaufort Street. The council also serves as the Normal Liquor Commission. The McLean County Museum of History held a program that looked at the nation's past leaders and examined how domestic and foreign policy is shaped. And they presented options for voting. You could vote for a blue dog or a red cat. There is a photograph here of children looking at the statues of the blue dog and the red cat. It looked like they were pretty interested in the differences before they chose. Another photograph shows Caleb McCluskey and his sister Callie eating cake that was served as refreshments at the open house. Back to articles. Streeter boy found, mom dad missing. Search continues for the pair following the crash. Police are still searching for a Streeter woman and her ex-boyfriend following an apparent abduction in Streeter over the weekend, but her son, who was with her at the time, was found safe about a day later outside a Streeter home. Illinois State Police issued an endangered missing person advisory early Sunday for Kayla Stratton, 24, and initially included her 11-month-old son, Paul. An arrest warrant was issued for 33-year-old Clarence Merritt, who is wanted on numerous charges, including domestic battery and aggravated assault. LaSalle County authorities think Merritt rear-ended Kayla Stratton's car late Saturday night in Streeter, causing it to crash into a utility pole. Based on a report from a witness at the scene, police said Merritt apparently then forced her and the child into his vehicle, which later was found abandoned several blocks from the crash scene. Merritt is the child's father, police said. Streeter police were notified about 10 p.m. Sunday that a friend of the mother found the baby outside her home, sheriff's police said. The baby was taken to OSF Center for Health in Streeter to be checked and then released to the mother's parents. Anyone with any information or the whereabouts of Stratton or Merritt are asked to call the LaSalle County Sheriff's Office at 815-433-2161. Logan County deputies tip leads to murder discovery. A tip from a Logan County Sheriff's deputy has led to the discovery of a double homicide in Freeport, officials said, during a routine traffic stop near Lincoln. Around midnight last Wednesday, the deputy became suspicious of a car driven by Mitchell Davis, 33, of Freeport. The car was registered to the man's parents, and the deputy wanted to make sure he had permission to drive it. During the stop, the deputy asked Freeport officials to check on Patrick Davis, 66, and his wife, Carlotta, 59. When police arrived at the couple's Freeport home, they found the couple dead as a result of stab wounds. Stevenson County Coroner Tim Lehman confirmed the couple was stabbed to death, possibly as early as last Monday. The family has ties to Logan County, according to Stevenson County officials. Mitchell Davis remains in Stevenson County Jail in lieu of $750,000 bond and faces two counts of first-degree murder. Business leader to speak at ISU. State Department official, actress to be part of series. The Illinois State University Speaker Series resumes Thursday with an address on the international marketplace from the head of the Aptar Group and also includes talks by actress Patricia Arquette and a State Department official. Stephen Haag, President and CEO of Aptar Group, will deliver the keynote address for ISU Business Week at 3:30 p.m. Thursday in ISU's Center for the Performing Arts. His talk is Adapting to a Changing International Marketplace. Haag has been instrumental in the growth of the company, which is a global leader in consumer product dispensing systems for fragrance, personal care, household, beverage, and other products. He also is chairman of the Aptar Group Charitable Foundation, which supports an employee matching gift program. The purpose of the speaker series is to provide a platform to foster dialogue, cultivate ideas, and continue appreciation of learning as an active and lifelong process. The talks are free and open to the public. Other speakers in the series include the Reverend Alvis Martin, who will speak on civil rights and labor movement, an alliance built out of necessity, at 7 p.m. February 28th in the old main room of Bone Student Center. Martin has a consulting firm and lobbies on behalf of organizations serving union construction workers, black construction contractors, and black business owners. His talk is part of Black History Month. Thomas Hushek, Acting Secretary of the U.S. State Department's Bureau of Conflict and Stabilization Operations, will speak at noon on March the 1st. At Prairie Room of the Student Center on the Bureau of Conflict and Stabilization Operations and its role at the State Department. Hushek's talk also is part of the International Seminar Series and will address issues in a variety of countries. Matt Glowacki will talk about how Family Guy and South Park TV shows break down stereotypical attitudes and behavior toward people's differences in a speech sponsored by Student Access and Accommodation Services at 6 p.m. March the 28th in the Prairie Room. Glowacki is a popular speaker who discusses how pop culture and news media provide opportunities to learn about diversity in everyday life. Mariana Ortega will speak on Bodies of Color, Bodies of Sorrow, and Resistant Melancholia at 1 p.m. April 14th in the Old Main Room. The talk by Art Ortega, a philosophy professor at John Carroll University, will be part of the 22nd Annual Women's and Gender Studies Symposium. The focus of her research is questions of self and of identity and visual representations of race. Oscar and Emmy-winning actress, author, and activist Patricia Arquette will speak on Glowing Global with Community Sanitation, the story of Give Love, at 7 p.m. April the 20th in the Center for Performing Arts Concert Hall. Give Love is a skills training organization created in the wake of devastating hurricanes in 2012. She will be the keynote speaker for Science and Technology Week. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Frederick Lojval talk will be Making Sense of the Vietnam War, and that will take place at 7 p.m. April the 20th in the Caterpillar Auditorium of the State Farm Hall of Business. Lojval is the Belfer Professor of International Affairs at the Harvard Kennedy School and a professor of history. He received the Pulitzer Prize for History for his book, Embers of War, The Fall of an Empire and the Making of America's Vietnam. Area calendar. This evening from 6:30 to 7 p.m. at the Normal Public Library, there will be a lecture on the history of chocolate. Actually, at the Normal Public Library, it will be a program called Principals Read. The lecture on chocolate will be at 7 p.m. in room 118 at the Illinois State University Alumni Center in Normal, titled How Chocolate Came to Be, an Ecology of Colonial Knowledge and the Genesis of Taste, by Catherine Sampek, Department of Sociology and Anthropology. And now we'll take a short break and continue with the second half hour. Please stay tuned.